June 19th. The first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19th, 1910, in Washington State. Because in 1909, Mother's Day was recognized in 45 states. Of course, the main incentive was commercialism. Woodrow Wilson made Mother's Day a national holiday in 1914. But Father's Day wasn't made a national holiday until Richard Nixon declared it a national holiday in 1972. I guess it's good because Paul says in Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that was in Exodus 20:12. It was the fifth commandment given to Moses. But I think it meant honor them continually, not just on one day of the year, right? Of course, in the Bible, the Hebrew word for father is Hebrew word number one in the concordance, and number two is the Chaldean word for father, A-B, Ab, was the word for father. In the Greek, it's 3963 in the concordance, P-A-T-E-R, pater, peter. Father. I remember in my younger years, and probably some of your younger years, and maybe some of you don't remember this at all, there used to be a TV program called Fathers Knows Best. Father Knows Best. Remember that? I don't think that would fly today. I think, in fact, we're having a hard time hanging on to the word father anymore. When I look in Noah Webster's dictionary, 1828, there are several definitions of father. One is, father is the begetter. He's the begetter. So, I remember in the old days, they portrayed the father as one who was pacing up and down in the waiting room in the hospital, you know, and the mother was doing all the work, and she's the one that grew the baby, but he's just the begetter. So the doctor comes out and says, oh, it's a boy. So he hands out cigars to everybody, and he's just a begetter. Proverbs 23:24 says, he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. And Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son. So, of course, Christ was the only begotten son of the Father God. So the Father is a begetter. The Father is also the first ancestor or progenitor of a race or a family. So if Eve was the mother of all living, does that make Adam the father of all living? That's a good question, because John 3:12 says Cain's was of that wicked one. So I believe that Adam was the father of Abel and he was the father of Seth, but something happened in that garden that Cain's father was possibly Satan. So we can't say that Adam was the father of all living, because all those that came from Cain were of the evil one. And probably the ones that the sons of God came down and mingled with, those women, to create the giants on the earth. Of course, we have Noah. And Noah was a great father. And after the ark settled and they were out of the ark, something happened again where one of his sons did something evil. And that, again, produced a whole progeny of evil people, the Canaanites, the Ham's descendants, the Canaanites. And that's where we got the giants again on the earth. And also Abraham, he was the father of many nations. But Abraham had two sons, one by his handmaid and one by his wife. And Abraham had other children as well. But nothing was ever perfect with these men. Consider even David. David, you know, had children. And they committed incest and murder. And so when you look down through the scriptures, there's no perfect father. There's no perfect man who had everything going well. It's also a term of respect. We talk about the town fathers. We talk about our founding fathers of this country. It's also a term meaning an ancestor or grandfather. It says in 1 Kings 2:10, it says, David slept with his fathers, meaning his ancestors. Peter taught us a few weeks ago that Nebuchadnezzar was called the father of Belshazzar, though he was his grandfather. Father can also mean one who provides care over another. In Psalms 68:5, God is called the father of the fatherless. Job 29, Job says, I was a father to the poor. A father is also anyone who creates or invents or makes or composes anything. In John 8, God, meaning Christ, was the creator and is the father of all men. In Genesis 4:20, Jabal, J-A-B-A-L, was the father of all who dwelt in tents. And in 4:21, Jubal, J-U-B-A-L, was the father of musicians. God is the father of spirits, says in Hebrews 12:9, and light in James 1:17. Satan is called the father of lies in John 8:44. Abraham is the father of believers in Romans 4:21 and Galatians 3:29. A father also means a father-in-law in the scriptures. Heli was Mary's father, but is called the father of Joseph in Luke 3:23, when they describe the genealogy of Joseph. The appellation of the first person in the adorable Trinity is a father in Matthew 28:19. I'm going to read that one. That was the Great Commission. Where Jesus told his disciples, teaching them to observe, go thee therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Father is also the titles given to priests in the Roman Catholic Church. I grew up in that church, and that was a very common term, Father, which flies in the face of Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father in heaven. It's also the appellation of ecclesiastical writers of the first century. We call them the apostolic fathers. As a verb, it means to adopt anything as one's own, to father something. So in Paul's day, as we explain the word adoption in the Bible, when a son got to be around age 30, and if he grew up in the character and liking of his father, and his father was pleased with him, his father would adopt him as a son. And that adoption was an adoption to an inheritance. And that adoption was unalterable. Once you adopted a son, you couldn't unadopt a son like that. You couldn't change it. So I believe that Jesus was adopted at his baptism in Matthew 3:19. In 3:17, I'm sorry. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was about the age of 30. And his father was pleased with him. So I believe when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, that was his adoption as the Son of God. In the Greek, the Aramaic, it's a Greek word, number 5 in the concordance, Aramaic is Abba. It's an intimate term regarding the Father. In Mark 14:36, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, he was sweating blood. His burden for our sins was so great, he was sweating blood. And he prayed to the Father. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt." Now, most people think that Jesus didn't want to die on the cross. "Father, take this cup from me." And he showed weakness. But actually, at that point, Jesus was saying, "Don't let Satan kill me here. I want to go to the cross. Take this cup from me. Take this burden away from me that Satan is putting on me so I can go make it to the cross to die." In Galatians 4:2, there's a begetting from above. When believers become Abraham's seed, Abraham becomes their father when they become a believer. In Romans 8:15, the elect of Israel is adopted. They have the adoption. Romans 8:15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So only an adopted person could call God Abba Father. Ephesians 1:5, we, the elect bodies of Christ, become adopted, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons or sonship by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we are the adopted sons of the Father. I'm going to turn to Job 29. Job might represent to some sort of the perfect father. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So here's a man who had sort of the perfect life, he thought. He had 10 beautiful children. He had all kinds of land and possessions and camels and cattle and so forth. And then the Lord allowed Satan to strike him down with some maladies. And he complained a lot with his friends about what had happened to him. Why was this happening to him? And then in chapter 29, he describes himself this way, trying to justify himself. Moreover, Job continued this parable and said, "Oh, that I were in the months past, in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. When I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves. And the aged arose and stood up. And the princes refrained talking and laid their hands upon their mouth. And the nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the word of their mouth. When the ear heard me, when it blessed me, when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that hurt had none to help him." So imagine being a man as such. When you came into the presence of people, they stood up, they stopped talking, they didn't dare say anything. They had that much respect for Job. But is that what God wants from us as men? Well, after God had spoken to Job, back in verse 42:6, 42:2-6. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou canst do everything, and thou that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore," get this, he says, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." So maybe that's more of the type of man that God desires, those who abhor themselves and repent in dust and ashes. In Isaiah 9:6, Christ is called a father. "Unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 1 John 31 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Romans 1:7 says, Grace to you and peace from God, our Father. And my favorite verse is Isaiah 38:19. The Father to the children shall make known the truth. The Father to the children shall make known the truth. That's the primary goal of a father, is to make known to his children the truth. So I remember when I was in my younger days, when I had children at home, we would play these board games. And there were three children, and we had one called Win, Lose, or Draw? You ever played Win, Lose, or Draw? Where you draw things on a board, and you would try to guess what they were drawing. And they couldn't say anything, and they couldn't write words. They had to draw pictures. So my youngest son, he's about 8 or 9 at the time, he draws his card out of the box, reads it. He goes over, and he draws like a light bulb, okay? And we're guessing light. Light bulb, love, light. He says, yeah, light, light. And then he's drawing stick man, stick people, like this. And he's pointing at this. And we're thinking, light, man, light, man, a light man, light, adult. He's going, he's pointing. And the time's up. We couldn't guess it. And he's sitting there and says, light as a feather. Light as a father. Light as a father. And I said, let me see that card. And it says, light as a feather. And he's trying to make it light as a father. And he's never going to live that down. We tease him about that yet today. But in the post-Acts, the word Father refers mostly to God the Father, God our Father. We as the body of Christ have a special relationship with our Father. In Philippians 2:22, Paul was talking about Timothy as a son with the Father. He said he had served me with me in the gospel. Paul says, Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Tim read a verse in Colossians about the same thing. But we as members of the body of Christ have this unique relationship with the Father. Philippians 2:5-8. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem another better than themselves. Look not every man unto his own things, but on every man also the things of others. Now let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. This is where we should have this in mind, in our mind, that we could be equal with God. We are so intimate with the Father, we can be equal with the Father in His image and in His likeness. In Philippians 2:13, Paul says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." The Bible doesn't say that about anybody else. God is working in us. The Father is working in us. Ephesians 1 says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing that is spiritual in heavenly places in Christ." He didn't do that for anybody else. That was only for us. "Even as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blame, holy and without blame before Him in love." He never said that about anybody else. None of His other children did He say that. "Having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Not according to any covenant, but according to the good pleasure of His will. "To the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved," accepted in Christ. He never said that about any of His other children. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself." He never said that about anybody else, that we would know His will. Ephesians 2:4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in two sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right at His right hand." He never said that about any of His other children. "That in the ages to come He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." In the ages to come, how long is He going to bestow these blessings on us? For ages and ages. What a Father we have. I've written down here Psalms 2, 7, and I don't remember why. Psalms 2, 7. "I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." That is the verse that refers to Jesus' adoption at His baptism, but also refers to us in resurrection, that He has begotten us when we are resurrected. Ephesians 4. 4-5. "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the Father is in us. We have a very intimate relationship with the Father, that he is in us. Ephesians 5:30. For ye are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we are members of Christ, who is God. We are members of his body. Colossians 1, 9 through 17. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, cease not to pray to you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That we would be filled with the knowledge of the will of the Father. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of the Father, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the holiest place, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So though we are in Christ, he is the image of the invisible God. We can't see our Father in heaven. No one has ever seen him. Christ is his image. And we may have never seen Christ, but we are in him, therefore we are in the Father. For by him all things were created. We were created by him, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by things by him all things consist. So we are to lie not to one another, seeing that we have put off the old man with his deeds, and we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are renewed in knowledge after the image of the Father. And we are to be raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father, at his right hand. So we have a relationship with the Father that no one else has. This is the Father I like to honor on Father's Day, because he has done so much for us. He has given us so much that we cannot fathom. We cannot even be thankful for, because we can't fathom what he has given us and what he's done for us. So as you go about your Father's Day today, think of your Father in heaven. He is the true Father. We all have earthly fathers and fathers of the flesh and worldly fathers, but we are born of God. We are not born of the flesh. We are born of God. And he's the Father we should honor today and give thanks. Heavenly Father, we honor you today. We praise you for all you've done for us. We ask you to be with all the earthly fathers today and their families and show your love through them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.